Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Thanks again for joining us here on Circles of Change. Wonderful sunny day here in Tucson, and I'm sure across the country. Well, I've got a special guest that I'm having come on board here in the studio, Joni Belzer, and I wanted to let you know, though, how we came to this opportunity is she called me up and asked to come on the show, which I love people who take initiative. So anyone who else is out there listening and thinking they've got a compelling story about personal change, career change, and to help others, I'm very interested in talking to you, too. So, Joni, welcome to the studio.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
It's a delight. Well, let me give a brief introduction. Joni Belzer is a certified graphologist who's been in practice now for over 25 years. She's a member of Phi Beta Kappa, as that she received her Bachelor of Arts from the University of Minnesota and then later a Master's in Library Science from UCLA. Following years as a therapist at Canyon Ranch, the health and wellness resort based here in Tucson, Joni launched into private practice and in 2006, at the behest of her clients and lecture attendees, published a really interesting book called The 5-Minute Therapist, Rewrite Your Life in 5 Minutes a Day. Well, it's been Joni's exercise and experience in working with clients that true success comes when you change the subconscious behavior that guides us. And where have we heard that before here on our show? Her book is intended for people who do not want to be a victim of their past, but really to take responsibility for themselves to solve their own problems. Graphology and graphotherapy thus involves doing exercises to show that when you write in a different manner, you tend to feel differently, and you can, in essence, rewrite your life. So I love the tagline that you use, Joni, on your site, that you can change your life one stroke at a time.
Well, thank you very much, Sarah.
And we wanted to tell people as we continue this conversation, for those of you that are home, not driving in your car, that before you start, we'd like you to get a pen and paper out, because Joni's going to have you write a few letters, which she'll be explaining a little bit later in our conversation. And also, our lines are open, 751-1041. So, Joni, why don't we start and explain to us what is graphology and graphotherapy, as opposed to handwriting analysis, I'll call it.
Very good. Graphology is the study of handwriting. But graphotherapy takes it one step further. By writing in positive ways, you can change your subconscious. And by changing your subconscious, you change your conscious behavior. What you write is your conscious effort, but how you write is the subconscious coming through. And your subconscious governs 80 to 85% of your behavior.
Isn't that interesting? I think most of us, I think sometimes we think we can take charge of that, though that isn't necessarily the case. So how is it that you start out with working with people then, Joni?
Well, many years ago, there was a man in Tucson, Arizona, who said you could lose weight by doing handwriting exercises. And I went to hear his lecture, and afterwards I made an appointment to wonder, how do you lose weight by doing handwriting rather than physical exercises? And as you know, most weight problems are psychological. Most people overeat because something is eating them.
Yeah.
And he was able to take a sheet of my writing and go 1, 2, 3, what my problems were. So in times of frustration or stress, instead of beating the dog, which I don't have a dog, you know, or drinking or other things, I would tend to go for comfort foods. And by eliminating my need for the comfort foods, I was able to get rid of my problems and get rid of my weight. And he did more for me in that one session than if I sat for 5 years while I didn't get along with my father, etc.
Isn't that interesting? So because he had you write something out, maybe you can, I've had the pleasure of Joni doing a handwriting analysis to help me with some things. So maybe you can take us through how it is that you start with someone through one of these sessions, or even how he did it with you.
Well, basically he had me on a piece of typing paper, write 1/2 to 3/4 of a page. But since we don't have time for that today, if you have your pen and paper, I'd like you to write a couple letters and see what you can learn about yourself. Okay, the first letter I'd like you to write is the capital letter M, as in Mary.
Okay.
And you wrote three of them. Now look at the humps. Are they rounded or pointed? Or do you have one of each? Now, if the first hump is rounded, you're very easy to get along with. If the second hump is rounded, you're not only easy to get along with one-on-one, but also one in a large situation. If there are points on either end, that means you like to have control of the situation. And if the first hump is higher than the second hump, it shows you're diplomatic in how you do it. But if the second hump is higher, it shows in new situations you tend to be a bit shy or reticent. And that's just in the capital letter M.
Just one. And so, you know, and I'm sitting here and the humps of my M's are pretty even, and they're also rounded.
So that shows you're not only easy to get along with one-on-one, but in a group situation too, because they're even.
But I also resonated with your one comment about the control thing. So let's say you've sat down with someone in a session and gone through the first exercise, the letter M. And then you then would prescribe for them if they wanted to change some behavior related to that.
Yes. For example, if you are shy in new situations, I would suggest you write the first hump higher and make the second hump smaller, like a little slide. So this not only teaches you to be more diplomatic, but also gives you the inner resources not to be shy in new situations. And because it's changing your subconscious, it's very subtle, and you don't feel that your mind is telling you what to do, not the outside world, but the inside world.
And so I had said in our introduction here that the exercises you give your clients, you typically request them to do them for 5 minutes a day for 21 days in a row. And is there some science behind that, or is it, you know, the research will prove that out?
Very good. It's not only just doing these exercises, but the idea, 21 days, psychiatrists or psychologists have proven it takes 3 weeks to change a mode of behavior. That's why it has to be done every day. But the exercises in the book only take you 5 minutes a day. That's why it's called the 5-Minute Therapist. And it works because you take responsibility. Nobody is telling you what to do. You are telling yourself what to do.
Well, the general history of this has been around for hundreds of years.
In fact, the Chinese, 5,000 years ago, were the first people who realized you could tell a man's characters by the way he made his strokes. And in the 1600s, believe it or not, the first book written on graphology was by an Italian physician, by Camille Baldo. And in the 1800s, the Catholic Church was very instructive in finding out more about people because they knew their parishioners, and they could correlate their personalities with the way they made their strokes.
Interesting. And the Chinese, particularly if you think about calligraphy and flow, of course, that's the other thing that I know you have a real passion around, is this presupposes that people are even using cursive writing these days.
Oh, this is one of my soapboxes. It is so important to learn cursive writing. I grew up with the three R's, reading, writing, and arithmetic. And it's important to learn cursive because what this does, it balances the right brain with the left brain. If people only print, they are right brain people and they move more by their emotions rather than their rationality. And by doing cursive, it balances both the right brain and the left brain. And probably many teachers can identify with the fact that with the decrease of teaching handwriting in the schools, the amount of problems have gone up.
Now, let's go into that a little bit further, because I think you would also share with us is that you've kind of proven that theory out or supposition because you actually have taken these techniques into the school system. You might want to share the activity that you did at the, I think it was a Sunnyside Elementary School?
No, it wasn't Sunnyside, it was in Townsend. There was one of the teachers here in Townsend incorporated this with her students. And the teacher is an excellent teacher anyways. But before she instituted graphotherapy techniques, which I shared with her, there were many problems in the classroom. And by giving her some simple exercises, she was willing. Saw the students had more respect for her. They had more focus. And the grades went from outperform to overperform just by using some simple handwriting exercises.
Well, it's interesting, too. I think for those of us that had the opportunity to either personally or have our children go through the Montessori process, Interesting connection back to Italy, of course, because Dr. Montessori from Italy, is that the children first learn cursive because it's a more natural movement of their hands. But I would suspect behind that also she had some knowledge of graphotherapy or graphology in the mix.
And it's very, I've heard about Montessori. It's very successful for many reasons. But one thing, they don't allow the kids to have computers until they're older. And as I once met an expert who said, you can teach people how to use computers in a week, but you can't teach them how to solve other problems without knowing how to use handwriting first.
Interesting.
And also she did emphasize the idea of hand-eye coordination. Isn't that true about Montessori?
Huge. It's all about that. And how many times we underestimate what our children can do. I mean, the fact that they can boil hot water and pour tea at age 4. Why not? If they've got that coordinated skill capability.
Yes, and that's why she was famous for her successful teaching.
Well, you mentioned how you got into this was the whole idea of it was you used it as another treatment to help you guide you through an interesting a predicament you're coping with. How did you become a student of this then? Is this something you actually take coursework and study, you know, in the eyes of gurus in this field?
Well, it's very interesting. In this country, it is still, some people think it's part of the psychic world, which we're not. We are a science. In fact, in Europe, you can get degrees in graphology. Mm. But in this country, there are a few organizations, and I've taken courses through them, and I've become certified through them. But most of it is self-study, the books I've read and lectures I've gone to.
Share with some of our listeners, again, for those who may have just tuned in, we have Joni Belzer with us, who's a graphologist, a certified graphologist, and uses the techniques of handwriting to guide people from the inside out to change their behaviors. Joni, the types of clients you've worked with, can you share, without mentioning names, obviously, some confidential experiences you've seen some of your special clients go through over the years?
Well, a couple things. It was very interesting. When I was at the Canyon Ranch, a young man came, he was in his 30s, came to me, and he said that he was from London, and he had to have his handwriting analyzed before he was hired. And he wanted to see what I saw in his handwriting. Well, I didn't know what he did, but according to his handwriting, he was very analytical, very bright, because he made deep M's and M's, and it was very small but legible writing. And also, since it was in cursive, it showed he was a good team worker. But he had long lower loops, and I says, it looks like you want to make a lot of money. Turned out he was hired to be an investment banker.
Oh, my goodness.
But another...
He was asking for some validation that he was on the right course.
Okay. Yes. Another thing is a group I love to work with are the teachers. And how I really got interested is someone else I also met at the Canyon Ranch. She was teaching 7th and 8th grade at the time, and after 18 years, ready to quit. She had said it was the worst group of kids she ever had in her teaching career. So I gave her the simple handwriting exercise that would teach subconsciously the students respect for her by making certain boundaries, giving the children boundaries, which we all need, and just by writing every other line to help them focus. And after 3-4 weeks, she said she saw such a difference, not only their attitude towards her, but the attitude toward the other kids in the classroom. Because not only they had respect for her, but for themselves, and they also saw their grades getting better and doing better in school.
So that behind the performance issues were some other things. There were fear, insecurity, you know, concern of failure on the part of the kids. So one of the exercises that actually anybody could do this day is to write every other line.
Yes.
And that's what, to give more space to your thinking? I mean, I can pick out my own metaphor. Why does that work?
Because by writing, when you write and lines sort of run together, it shows your brain is smooshed. I don't know a better word than smooshed.
I like that.
But when by writing every other line, It helps the brain think clearer and set your priorities.
And so...
Can I add one other case?
Yes, please.
I had another young man come to me and I said, according to the writing, I see irritation with your father growing up. And I often say, if psychiatrists didn't have parents to blame, they'd be out of business. And he shared with me he had been in therapy for 5 years about father never loved him, et cetera, et cetera. So I looked at him and I says, you seem like a very bright young man, according to the writing and that. So your father didn't love you. I bet he was a very bright man, wasn't he? Oh, yes, father knew everything, read everything. So I said, look, he gave you a good set of genes, didn't he? And he started to laugh. And I said, so he didn't love you. Big whoopee. And I showed him how to do an exercise to think more independently and not be dependent on his father's approval. And he left laughing because after 5 years, it was time for him to grow up.
Yeah. And how easy, some of that obvious thing, but that's kind of the gift you can provide.
Rather than making him the victim of this. And
exactly.
That's one of the things you mentioned, is to become the victor, not a victim. To become better, not bitter.
Yeah, that's right. The book we're talking about, by the way, that Joni has written, it's called The 5-Minute Therapist, Rewrite Your Life in 5 Minutes a Day. And you can get more information about her book by going to www.the5minutetherapist.com, as well as it can be ordered on lulu.com or amazon.com. And I know, Joni, you enjoy giving lectures as well, and I know you've done them on cruise ships and the like. What's been some of the reactions when you give a lecture?
Well, I have mixed reactions. A lot of people come to be entertained, and I hope they will be entertained, but they go away learning something about themselves. But not only that, I love skeptics that come to the lecture. Mm-hmm. There was one lady who came up, and I said, according to the writing, are you divorced? And it's because she made her small letter F and it had a reverse loop in the back with an angle, which could show anger towards family or divorce. And she says, no. And she huffed away, fine. Later, I found out her husband told my husband the reason they were on the cruise is they were in the midst of deciding whether they should get divorced or not. So even though they weren't divorced at the time, it was in her subconscious that. But I love skeptics, and I love people realizing that you can learn more about yourself and other people through your handwriting, and the idea that by changing it, you can be better.
Yeah, the one thing that you've come up with, not only, of course, the book for purchase, but also something you call the magic ruler. It allows you to create magic margins. What's the significance of margins on the paper, then?
Oh, thank you, Laura. This makes this book different than any other self-help book around. In order to heal, you have to get rid of the emotional baggage that you carry with you. And it explains in the book, by writing outside the 1-inch margins around the page, it shows exactly where your problems began. And when you start writing 1 inch to 1 inch on the page, you can not think about these problems anymore. I had a young girl come to me, she was 14, and I said, something happened when you were 5, because I had her draw the margins. And by drawing the 1 inch, the way I measured it, it showed something happened at 5. Turns out she says, oh yeah, that's when my parents got divorced. And even though she had been through therapy and the parents had remarried and that, it still was with her. So I told her, if you write from 1 inch to 1 inch, your mind will forget about that in a negative way. And then I gave her an exercise to heal, to feel better. But the margins are so important. Until you get rid of your emotional baggage, it's hard to heal. Or you make the same mistakes over and over.
And I think you had shared with me the way in which you've done this handwriting exercise or equipped teachers to do it is actually to create a template and have the children first draw that box so they will write in between that penciled section only.
Yes, and the children like it when they have their own little rulers, they design them. And also, when they have a comfort level, when they know their boundaries, they learn better too.
Oh, that's absolutely no question about it. I've seen that with our own children, as mentioned. You know, they were trained in the Montessori processes because of that, because it was more process-oriented that helped them. But also, you know, the predictability, as all parents listening probably knows, if the child knows that after dinner, then comes some playtime, then bath time, story, brush their teeth, And I know in the case of our family, if ever I tried to swap some of those, sometimes it didn't work. Mm-hmm. So nonetheless, though, providing the right framework. And I think people that this day and age make it a living of helping families with challenging children, that's one of the first places they start is will talk to us about the structure that's in their life. And
people need structure.
Yeah, I think it's not just the children.
Right, sure. And this gives the subconscious the structure, the strength.
Yeah. Joni, tell me about some of your biggest ahas or surprises as you've evolved your career in this space over 25 years.
That's a very good question. There are many of them. It was interesting. I had a man who came from Israel. His primary language was Hebrew, but he wrote his sample in English. And I said, according to the margins, it's fine. You sort of have things under control. I said, why don't you write in Hebrew? When he wrote in Hebrew, the margins showed something had happened to him when he was 22 years old because he went over the margins. He says, yes, my brother was killed in the war, one of the wars. But it showed when he wrote Hebrew, not when he wrote English.
Interesting. And so in this case, perhaps unknowingly, he was suppressing that memory in some way.
Yes, but when he thought in his primary language, it came back.
So did you then work with him to do some exercises writing in Hebrew then?
Yes, I told him whenever he wrote in Hebrew and that he should write within the margins too. That was a very interesting moment.
That must have been a very fulfilling opportunity for you, yes, to see the... And also, you know, the fact you had said that this field is recognized and respected as a form of therapy officially in Europe, and that you can get degrees in it and the like. So it's an interesting movement. Have you seen it now picking up its pace here in the United States over the years?
I would like it for it to be more, but I don't think so. But yeah, it would be nice, especially if they would ever go back to teaching handwriting. They say you won't need it because of computers, but that is wrong. You still need the basics, and then you can do the computers.
Yeah, that's a wonderful analysis. Well, again, I welcome our listeners to touch in to Joni's website, and that's The 5-Minute Therapist, and also her book, To Rewrite Your Life in 5 Minutes a Day. I'm on the path, by the way. As I've mentioned on the show, we're on vacation, but committed to making a couple of those exercises, particularly the writing every other line. I've been trying it, and that is really hard for me, which is probably a direct ramification of how much stuff and clutter I've got going on in my life at this point in time. Well, great. Well, Joni Belzer, we wish you the best of luck as you continue on, and we'll keep tabs of your wonderful progress in this field.
And thank you for having me.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.
Be me, sir.